express our gratitude this morning to my brother Scott and the music ministry for all that they do. Once we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and his word becomes the standard, the guide which directs us and informs us when making decisions, we then understand that biblical prosperity encompasses every aspect of our lives, including the way we view and spend money. Yes, we are going to talk about money today. I know people get nervous when they hear that. The most influential evangelist of the 20th century, Billy Graham, once said, "If a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help them straighten out almost every other area in their life." The year was around 430 BC. Some of the people who were in exile had returned to Jerusalem. They had returned with great hopes after so many years in captivity. And the first thing that they did was to rebuild the temple. The place was in shambles. The transition was not easy. They endured the hardship of famine, oppression, etc., etc. But eventually they assimilated into their new culture. As time passed, so did that initial fervor and excitement. Their worship became stale and indifferent. And they allowed the culture to dictate their lifestyle. This caused them to progressively stray from God and do evil in his sight. Somehow they forgot that God was and is even today a holy God. And if we consider to be his people, we ought to be walking in holiness. They forgot to honor and to walk in holiness and faithfulness. And sooner or later, they began to suffer the consequences of their actions. They were practicing sorcery, adultery, perjury, fraud. They were oppressing the widows and the orphans. They were unfaithful, as I already said, and disobedient to God. Does that sound familiar? In addition, they were robbing God in tithes and offerings. To quote the commentary from the New Bible, their conduct was unworthy of a covenant people. Finally, God intervened, and he sent a prophet, Malachi, whose name means messenger or angel. He brought them a message of hope. He reassured them of God's love for them. He reassured them of his unfailing love. I love those two words. We read about them a lot in the book of Psalms. However, he also rebuked them. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to the book of Malachi. If you don't read your Bible much, and you might have a hard time finding Malachi, I'll make it easy for you. It's the last book in the Old Testament. It only has four chapters. And if you don't have a Bible, if you did not bring your Bible to church, you should find one there under your chair. Malachi chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. I just set up the context in which this happened. This is Malachi speaking to the people of those days. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you asked, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. May the Lord bless his word this morning. These are some strong words. When I read these verses, I think to myself, how can some of us presume to own all things? When all things belong to him, creator of heaven and earth, and can be taken away in the twinkling of an eye. In Psalm 50, verses 10 and 11, we read, for every animal of the field or the forest, depending the version you're reading, is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird on every mountain. You see, he created it all. He owns it all. He knows it all. Everything belongs to him. Beloved, we are not only stewards of God's property, we are also his children. The people during Malachi's time had forgotten this important fact. The form of the curse they were under was drought, and a devouring insect that ate all their harvest. However, there was a way out of this situation. If they repented and returned to God with all their hearts, God would rebuke the devourer for them. In verse 10, we read, we just read it, test me in this. There's some versions that would say, prove me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven with an overflowing blessing. That is biblical prosperity at its best. Now remember, biblical prosperity encompasses every area in our lives. Spiritual, financial, relational, physically. This is the only scripture that I know of in the whole entire Bible that God says, test me now and see, or prove me. The reality is that giving is an expression of our faith. Our motive for giving speaks volumes about our trust in God. God knew the great emphasis that we would place on finances and economics in this world. So he challenges us in that area because it is so close to people's hearts. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Matthew 6:21. I'd like to remind you that the kingdom of God has never filed for bankruptcy. And it never will. According to the statistics released by the Administrative Office of the United States Courts, business filing rose 23.3% from 12.7% in the year ending June 30, 2023. Businesses filing bankruptcy. Non-businesses bankruptcy filings rose 9.5% from the previous year, too. The Federal Reserve reported this week that credit card debts climbed to a record high in the third quarter of 2023. This is an alarming trend, my friends. Furthermore, the average credit card interest rates stand at nearly 21%. The overuse of credit cards can be destructive. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:7, the debtor is a slave to the lender. The idea of buying now and paying later is very tempting and dangerous as well. Sometimes we buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like and spend money that we don't have. We should not allow the secular view on money to dominate us. Our spending should be guided by biblical principles. As I said already, the Bible is the compass for our life. That's why we need to study it. None of us eat, or most of us, I shouldn't say generalize, but most of us don't eat one meal a day. We eat three or four and then all the snacking. The same thing. Imagine if we did that with the Word of God. If we woke up in the morning and the first place we went after making the coffee would be to the Word, spending some time meditating on the Word of God, allowing the Word of God to transform our hearts and our lives. Remember, as I said last week, the Bible clearly says, above all things, guard your hearts. Because whatever is in our hearts will be shown to the world by the way we speak. It's important for us to study the Word of God. You see, again, we should not allow the secular view on money to dominate us. The Bible is the compass for every decision, or should be, that we make. You see, if I go to a store and I go shopping and I fill my car up with everything I wanted to buy, and I walk out of the store, what would happen? They would call the cops. I would be accused of shoplifting, wouldn't I? Well, especially here, not in California. I guess there's a certain amount over there, but. Well, friends, if I come to church and never honor God with a portion of what he has blessed me with, it is called church lifting. We do not give our time, our talents, our treasures, our services, etc., to manipulate God or to show off. We give it out of love. We give it out of obedience for Him. We don't want to keep what already belongs to Him. In other words, we don't want to rob Him. I know some people say, well, that was just the Old Testament. That was under the law. We're now under grace. We don't need to tithe anymore. Wrong. Jesus talked a lot about money. Jesus said to the disciples in John 5:19, I do what I see my Father doing. Beloved, our Heavenly Father is an extravagant giver, and we should be like Him. Again, I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about having a generous attitude in every area of our lives. Let's make the difference for the next generation. Let's be an example of obedience and trusting God, and continue to put into practice the principles of biblical prosperity. Continue to honor God with our prayers and our presence. Next Sunday, November the 19th, is our Commitment Sunday. I invite you to prayerfully consider your commitment to the Lord for next year. The cards are in the lobby. I pray you would take one home and lay hands over it, pray over it, and allow the Lord to speak to you during this week. If you have never or hardly ever practiced giving to the Lord, this biblical financial principle, I invite you to trust God. Take Him at His word. Test Him and see what He would do. Maybe you can't give the 10% you think. Give 5, 4, I don't know, whatever you sense in your heart. Take the time to do a PFI, personal financial inventory. Answer the important question, how will the money and the assets that God has allowed me to enjoy will be used after I am gone? Because you see, we all have an expiration time here, in case you didn't know it. We're not staying here forever. If we have asked Jesus to come into our hearts, we are heaven bound. We need to live life with an eternal perspective. I want to invite you to review your will. Make sure it is up to date. If you don't have a will, call an attorney ASAP, make an appointment, get it done. If you die without a will, most probably there will be a legal battle, and the assets will be distributed in accordance to the laws of the state. Here at the church, we have an endowment fund. If the Holy Spirit leads you to give any money, well, praise the Lord, I pray you do. You can find the brochure on the welcome table. Remember, we are just passing by. Let's continue to be faithful and righteous stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. Make sure that when you're gone, that money is still blessing other people's lives. I want to thank you for all you do and for all you give. Let's believe the promises of God. In his word, he says that he is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that should repent. Believe it. Expect it. Practice biblical prosperity. Experience it and enjoy it. Because if he said it, he will do it. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us the gift of faith. Through faith, we can believe that with you, all things are possible. Through faith, we can receive your promises. And we can live life in the abundance of biblical prosperity. We could be healthy physically, spiritually, financially, and in our relations as well. Lord, I pray that today you would give us the measure of faith that we need to believe for it. In Jesus' name, amen.